This episode brought to you by Audible! All right, guys, go to audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin for 30 days free and a book to get you started.
30 days of night free?
Ooh.
Do we ever see Audible and 30 Days of Night in the same place?
Or Josh Hartnett in the same place.
Oh.
I wonder if
I see Josh Hartnett everywhere.
I wonder if Josh Hartnett reads any books on...
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I mean, what is October? So, guys, some ear porn. Oh, my God. Check out audibletrial.com/horrorvirgin for 30 days free and a book to get you started. And for your book of recommendation, Jen Ferratu.
Okay, so if you like 30 Days of Night, you will love Salem's Lot. It is Stephen King's second book. It is available on Audible, and it's really good. Pretty short, too. It's a really great vampire story.
So, guys, check it out. Nailed it. This episode also brought to you by Burn
Nick
It Down
B.
Patreon level subscriber, Nick B, guys.
We love you, Nick B.
And Nick B, seriously, thank you so much.
Yes.
But also, Nick B would like you guys to check out Preacher6.com. I don't know. I think I'd hate it, but that's probably the best like recommendation.
It looks really cool.
I can give for it because it does look really cool, but it looks sort of scary. Sort of like Evil Dead-y. I don't know. Guys, check it out. Go to Preacher6.com. Watch the two trailers they have up for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently trying to get funded on GoFundMe. So if you can give to that, give to that.
Sir, would you kindly bring in that theme music?
Yes, I will.
Where is my monocle?
Enjoy the episode, guys. I need you to say, that is funny.
That is funny.
After every one of my jokes. Oh, that is funny.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, go on, you so-and-so. A captain of industry and myth.
Oh, dear God.
Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody. I'm Jennifer.
I am the horror. Oh, wait.
Oh, no, you missed it.
Damn you.
It's a new year. Oh, it's not a new year.
It's almost a new year.
Almost a new year. So you got to get one last lame ug in.
Well, you say that like I'm not going to continue doing it.
You're not. Yeah.
That is news to me.
2019 is the year of Jennifer.
Well, 2018's been a really good year for me. Me being the Horror Virgin Todd.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a guest today.
Yeah.
Whose name... has changed every time
I've
asked her.
We keep hearing a different story. Now, so we have Lena from Music City Horrors.
Hi, thanks for having
me. Welcome back, technically.
Yes.
Thanks for having me again.
Lena is the star of one of my favorite episodes, the Your Next episode.
Yeah, the Your Next episode was pretty great.
It was awesome. We're Women Bonkers.
And you were a part of that magic.
Yeah.
But you're also a part of the magic on the Music City Horror podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we thought we'd steal you for an episode or two.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. We're excited.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, Jen, what movie did you make me watch today?
Tonight, I'm so excited. I got to watch Josh Hartnett for like 2 hours. It was awesome.
Yeah, and he is dreamy. I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
We
finally answered the question of what he's been doing post Lucky Number 11.
That's right. He's been fighting vampires in Alaska
for apparently.
All 30 days of night after Lucky Number 11.
Oh, sorry.
No.
You're right, though. No, you're right.
You were just caught off guard because my joke was so delightfully droll.
I can't do it too long without actually laughing. It's like ridiculous. Have you ever been to laughter therapy?
No, but that sounds terrifying.
It is so bad. It is a thing. Listen, my mom's into some weird shit, and she
does live in Asheville.
Yeah,
so let's talk about this movie.
Yet.
So yeah, by the way, I don't even think you said the title of the movie.
I did say it, Josh Hartnett's 30 Days of Night, starring Josh Hartnett.
Introducing Josh Hartnett.
He actually gets introduced in H2O.
Wasn't, and this may be wrong and correct me, but I
probably
think Jamie Lee Curtis wasn't introducing in Halloween.
Was she?
So I wonder if they sort of did that as like a throw to, I may be 100% wrong about that.
It was also his first movie.
And that was her first movie.
It was. Get Todd with some knowledge.
Knowledge that may 1000% be made up.
Yeah, or came from my notebook and I've forgotten about. Okay, so this movie starts out with the beginning of it.
Holy shit. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'll say this, and this may be a little incorrect, but I do find that most movies start out with the beginning of them.
I think so, except for Memento.
No. Oh, damn, Guy Ritchie. Pulling a fast one.
Yeah, dude.
I do want to throw out there, before we get started, I've been waiting to say this till the podcast started.
Uh-oh. Are you pregnant?
No. Okay, so this movie came out in 2007, and I will date myself a little bit. So I was 22 then.
Uh-huh.
What's the lead vampire's name, really, in real life?
Oh, I don't know, but I know I've seen him in a lot of stuff, yeah.
Yes, yeah. But in 2007, 22-year-old Lena thought for the longest time, that was Anthony Bourdain.
It does look like Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, he does
That's
look like Anthony Bourdain. I could see that. You're like, what is that chef doing in
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I know. I was like, and he's an
Yeah.
Wow.
He'd done that like Outward Bound chef show, so maybe he just wanted to see what the cuisine was like in Alaska.
Exactly.
He, and then he got turned.
It's people.
Yes.
What is it? What is he, Charlton Heston?
I don't. That's my only frame of reference.
That's like a joke you don't get.
But I was listening to the edit of that, and I had Soylent Green is people stuck in my head.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
He was in X-Men Origins. Mm-hmm.
Just has such a certain look.
He does. You know. He looks
that
like
Anthony
he's kind
Bourdain
of an
look?
Asshole chef with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
All right. So we start with aerial footage of Barrow, Alaska, and we get some fun facts about Barrow, Alaska.
Yeah. It's the northernmost city in America.
Yes. It's real snowy.
It is very snowy.
Yeah. And this is their last day of sunlight. It said they're cut off for 30 miles of wilderness and 30
I thought it was 100 miles, but I guess...
Maybe just the name 30, or the,
no, the name
number
30. So they're in Barrow, Alaska, which is the northernmost city in America.
Northernmost
city in America. Right? Oh, this is like during the just the crawl. We haven't even seen it yet, right?
Yeah,
there's just like text on the screen. That's right.
So it's establishing the stakes of where they live because they are about to enter into their 30 days without sunlight.
Wait, is that what it's called that?
30 days of night?
Huh.
Yeah.
I just got that.
Oh, really?
No.
What did you think the 30 days stood for?
It was clear.
Oh.
Well, then we start to meet the cast of characters
these hooligans that live up in this town. Because only they can.
Do they say that?
Yeah, they say at one point. Yeah. They say, we live up here because no one else can. And then I said, I could live there. And you said, no, you can't.
I mean, you can if you want. It's just real
cold. And then
cold.
The next thing like, you said was, I'm a man and I will not allow it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I just want to point out that it was a joke.
Shallow and pedantic.
I make shitty jokes because I'm scared in movies.
That's okay. When you've got shallow your thunder jacket pedantic. On, you've got your thunder jacket on.
Yeah, I did wear my jacket.
You can say what you want.
I did wear my jacket the entire movie.
He tried to get us to watch the 30 for 30 that came up when IMDb searched.
No, I watched the trailer last night for the Patreon stuff because we do the trailers on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And I watched the trailer and there I just could tell from the trailer that it was a jump scary movie.
Yeah.
And that's like, I hate those the most.
Because it's more modern.
Sure.
Like, we've been watching a lot of 70s,
we have been watching a lot
movies.
Of very shitty, not scary 70s movies.
That's
yes.
true.
So, like, I could tell that tonight was going to be much harder for me.
Yeah, so it was very hard for Todd.
Yes, it was.
So, we start to meet this motley crew of Alaska people. I was confused about this. They found a bunch of phones burned.
Well, no, it starts out with it starts out like Tremors. Instead of it being Kevin Bacon and Silver Fox, it's Hartnett and not Silver Fox.
Hartnett and Billy.
Hartnett and Billy, yeah. His name is actually Billy in the movie, you're right.
And I like him, so we'll call him Billy.
But they're like just going around doing like cop shit because they're sheriffs. Or maybe...
They're snowing out. They're going around like checking on people because apparently a lot of people leave right before the 30 days hit.
So they changed the sign from like population 500 something to like population 152 or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they know that for sure that was that many people?
They probably have a list of everybody in the town and are checking to make sure they're either prepared or leaving.
Yeah, they have a list. They check it twice and they just see who's been leaving.
Just the season.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they change the numbers. And then is this when they... I don't remember what gets them to the phones. Well, I know they go to watch the sun start to
they
set.
They do. They go on their first date together and reminisce about
so
their
they,
other first
they
date.
Go to like the lookout either. Spot. Yeah. Right. And that's where they see the burnt phones.
Right.
Which never gets explained.
They're burners. So like if you want to leave no trace of your phone calls.
So like if you're selling drugs or whatever.
right.
In this small little Alaskan town.
Hey, that granny's got a grow closet.
She does.
That's right.
Granny getting high.
Pretty boss.
Yeah, so she's got all her burner phones from all her people out selling it down in Wainwright.
Yes.
She's drinking her Colt 45.
She is,
trying not to play Risk with her shitty grandson.
Oh, is that what they were playing, Risk?
I think it was Risk.
I couldn't tell,
It was a Risk type game.
Yeah.
It was a risky game.
Oh,
it
it was.
Didn't turn out well for her.
So they find the burner phones.
They find the burner
phones. And then
they
go up and watch the sun start to set, and then they start to go into town.
Yeah. But then they give Bobby from Sons of Anarchy a citation so will feel like he's part of the group.
Which is the dumbest reason to give someone a ticket. What was he doing that deserved a ticket?
I don't know. Like tow trucking without a tow truck license or something.
I've been tow trucking for 6 years without a license. Why are you going
to
give me a tow truck citation?
I didn't go to evil tow trucking school to get no citation.
Why does it got to be evil? Every time Sam came up on the screen, you talked about how much you loved Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah. His name's Bobby in Sons of Anarchy, so that's all I called him.
Is his name Sam in this movie?
Who's Sam?
Oh, shit. What's his name in this movie?
This whole time?
I know.
I don't know. Bobby.
Okay.
He's on Sons of Anarchy. He's delightful.
So anytime Bobby came up on the screen, you pointed out that he was in Sons of Anarchy.
And that I love him.
Did you watch all of Sons of Anarchy?
I did.
That show.
Hey, don't judge. It's good. Some people like it.
It's not good.
Some people that have huge crushes on Jax
But that's sort of the only reason to watch it. If you're sexually attracted to Opie and Jax, then you watch Hamlet, because that's all it is.
I forgot that it was Hamlet.
You're watching 1,000% Hamlet. It's just like seven seasons of Shakespeare you're watching, nerds.
With a lot of really terrible violence.
And terrible acting. It is like a soap opera. You guys are watching a soap opera.
Yeah, but Jax is hot.
I agree. Yeah. He's very dreamy.
Oh, we forgot about the coat man that walked across the desert of ice.
Yes.
Oh, this is The Stranger is his name
in
the credits.
Yeah, that's how we actually start. And Ben Foster. Yeah. We had to confirm that because he was really dirty.
I've seen Ben Foster in a lot of things, and he's a great actor.
Yeah.
He sticks out to me in 310 to Yuma because he was amazing in that movie.
You just like that coat.
But that coat is badass. When do they... So they're on their way back into town when they give Bobby the ticket, right?
Yes. And then we see Stella, who's talking to somebody else.
Stella, why is she... What is her job?
She's the fire marshal, I think, for that area of Alaska. Mm-hmm.
But that covers like a huge range, because she, at the beginning, she's trying to get back to the plane, right?
Right.
So she doesn't live there typically, right? I think she lives in Anchorage, she says, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or at least the plane's going to Anchorage. I'm not sure. But she used to be
Josh Hart,
married to, I guess.
I think they're still married and they're separating.
All right, I get that.
She's back in town, but she didn't tell him she was in town. But so
I wouldn't want to see my ex either if I'm in their shitty podunk town that we lived in together. And
but if your ex looks like Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
Oh.
First of all, he would not be my ex.
No. I mean, if he was your ex, it would be by his choice.
He's not going to leave me.
Jen, he would probably
leave you. I get
my hooks
in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I'll just kill him.
And then he would be like, I could smell your blood.
Gross.
Spoiler alert.
So Stella's driving around. I wrote down, Stella gets plowed by a big plow.
Yeah, well, she gets almost run over. Like,
but it's a giant chainsaw truck plow.
It is. Well, it's the one that Bobby uses later.
Yeah.
She's trying to get to the airport because she's trying to bone out to Anchorage.
Bigsby.
Yeah, well, not Bigsby. It's a different franchise. Yeah. Which they're making a seventh of. The guy from Family Ties just signed on for the seventh one.
Down to Pound Town.
Woo, Pound Town perfection. Anyway, so listen to the Tremors episode if you want to get any of those jokes.
Yeah. And then go watch Tremors, too.
Anyway, so the...
So
she
now
gets
she
one
can't
of her,
leave.
Right. Well, she's trying to get a ride, so she calls Hartnett, and she's like, hey, can you like help me get a ride or whatever?
Stella!
Yeah, that would be hilarious if that was the ringtone. Just fucking three car named Desire. Stella!
Yeah.
But
if
I
your name was Stella, that
I
would
love
be.
I love what
Stella.
He does here.
She's like, I've never heard that one before.
Instead of dropping everything and being like, yes, I'll go and I'll pick you up and whatever,
he
straight up is like, hey, hang on 1 second. Hey, deputy, go pick up my ex-wife and get her ass to the airport.
Yeah, he delegates it. He...
Stella Gates.
Stella Gates.
That was Lana's joke.
We're gonna give credit.
Yeah, it was Lana's joke during the movie.
Stella Gates. Yeah, because she didn't tell him she was back in town. But then when she needs something from him, she's like, oh, well, we can talk on the drive if you want.
And he's like, I don't want to talk to you, bitch. So Josh doesn't take her because he has to go check out a bunch of dog murders.
Yeah,
which
right,
this part
dogs.
Was rough. Like, I've had dogs and I don't like to see violence done against really any animals.
Yeah. Who do you think killed the dog?
It was Ben Foster.
It
was 100% Ben Foster. And they talk about that later when he's chained up. Bobo Anthony Bourdain goes in there and he goes, you did everything we asked you to do.
Yeah.
So he killed the dog.
Because he's the familiar, because he's still a human. He's like
that's what it's called.
Yeah, okay.
So like when
he's like the Renfield. Kinda.
Yeah, yeah. When all that was going down, I was like, they have a name for when they like subjugate a human, and I couldn't remember what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He is the familiar.
Because
he
can still go out in the daylight, so he eliminates all of their means of getting of anybody escaping the
town. Yeah, because the sled dogs, they could just, you know, a few of them could have escaped that way.
Yeah, right. So yeah, I thought it was just dogs, and then I remembered that there was like a sled. Yeah.
I even made a stupid...
How will we win the Iditarod?
Yeah, I made a stupid Iditarod joke because I was very nervous at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, so Josh Hartnett...
Josh Hartnett's all over the place.
Yeah, so...
And I am here for it.
And we are here
for
it.
Yeah,
his soulful eyes.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of deep feelings in this movie, too. Yeah.
So,
Coatman Stranger.
Ben Foster,
Ben Foster.
I think his name in the credits is literally The Stranger.
The Stranger,
yeah.
he killed
which
the
is
dogs.
A sex act. Guys, do not Urban Dictionary the stranger.
Wait, is that when is you that sit on your hand?
Yeah. Well, I guess the you don't have to numb. Because Jen just told you what it is.
But okay, here's what I don't understand. If you
about the stranger?
Yeah. Okay. If you sit on your hand and you lose feeling, don't you also lose control? Yeah.
No.
Could you so you're just like flopping your hand.
Wow, I answered that way too fast.
No, you can still hold a mic and do it.
So here's why I know that. Have you ever like, well, I know you can't probably with your job, Jen, but like with my job, if I want a break, I'll just go to the bathroom and sit on the toilet for like 30 minutes and play on my phone. But my legs will go to sleep sometimes. And I can get up and I can walk around with my legs asleep. Oh. It tingles and it's like annoying because as they wake up.
Yeah.
But no, I mean,
pins and needles.
Yeah. I'll be like on my phone playing a game for like, it's not 30 minutes, but probably like a full 5 minutes. And my legs will be asleep when I get up, and I just like walking around pretending no one can tell that my legs are asleep.
But it's a very awkward walk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying something new.
I don't make fun of your trot.
I like how you're claiming that you're sitting on the toilet for 30 minutes because you're playing a game on your phone.
No, I am.
And not for other reasons.
I will show you the game I play on my phone.
I don't want to see what you're doing for 30 minutes in the bathroom.
I'm either reading Reddit articles or playing games on my phone. That's 100% true.
The stranger goes to the cafe.
Yes.
Give him a cup of coffee or something.
All right. Causes a ruckus.
Wait, did we talk about Josh Hartnett going to the Iditarod sled people's house? And he's like, I'll find who did this.
Yeah.
All
Avenger
stuff.
Dogs.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But you're right. But then Ben Foster does go to the cafe.
Oh, and the helicopter is also sabotaged. And the Wilford man, who's not Wilford Brimley.
He does look like he's got diabetes.
He does, yeah. He gets vampired in, but I think he gets Ben Fostered. I don't think it's actually the
vampire. I think it's a vampire.
You think it is? Well, we don't know.
No, but the reason I don't think it's Ben Foster or the stranger is because the person's moving very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of establishes that the vampires are, and I'm proud of myself because I sort of know this, they're like 28 days later vampires and not
Fast
Night
movers?
Of the Living Dead vampires.
Although, you know, 28 days later are zombies, right?
Yeah.
Shit.
I mean, the analogy holds because they are fast.
I am embarrassed.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
I mean,
just
baby steps,
different
guys.
Monsters.
Baby steps. We're very proud of you, but you completely missed everything you were trying to
aim
at.
Here's the small nugget of good in what you said. Yeah. And we're just going to build you up from there.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Twitter, come at me, bros. All right.
Hey, we got 28 days later on the list. I actually might have a guess for that, too.
I actually vividly remember that trailer because it scared the fuck out of me.
I
have seen one scene from that movie. Ben Foster does go to the cafe.
Causes a ruckus.
Yeah, he like...
Causes a ruckus.
He like gives that lady, or the waitress, he gives her some shit. Like, you won't serve me what I want to eat.
Yeah.
He has like a weird way of talking, right?
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he doesn't sound like normal Ben Foster.
He does sound real weird. Yeah. Like, a little high-pitched, too.
Yeah.
Like, for a while, I kept thinking he had an accent.
Yeah, it's almost like Bane from Batman.
Yeah,
not quite as garbled, but a little bit Baney.
Won't give me what I want to eat.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was my best impression.
That
sort
was
of
good.
Like that.
That's better than mine.
Yeah, sort of like that. Was that your Bane impression? Do you just think Bane is like a breeze?
I am your father.
Yeah, I'm going to do my Bane impression. Winston!
Yes. I think that's from the first Ghostbusters. The funny library scene. How delightfully droll, Todd.
But I feel like I should be Oscar Wilde in this situation.
Yes, you should.
This would be the podcast if I was Oscar Wilde. You two were the Bronte sisters.
We all have our monocles.
Love it.
We're drinking tea.
Between us, we have a pair and a half of glasses. Oh. This is not a joke. I love Oscar Wilde. And on my Tinder profile for a long time, the only thing it said was just trying to be more and more like Oscar Wilde every day. And someone I matched with, she sent me a message on Bumble because they have to message first. And she said, does your status mean gay? ? Because Oscar Wilde was gay, and I was like, oh shit, I should actually write something and stuff.
You could have made it wild and out.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I'm into it. So anyway, they're in the cafe, and does Hartnett come in and like
Hartnett and Melissa George like flirt arrest this guy?
Who is Melissa George?
She's the wife.
Stella?
She's Stella. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they like. Now my daughter walked in at this point, so I had to like get her out of the room.
Yeah, you shoot her out real quick. Yeah,
I did because
she's just looking for some tape.
She was like, I'm just gonna go get
my
tape.
And Jen was like, get the fuck out of here.
Tape is dead.
The tape's been dead for 10 years.
It's not even sticky anymore.
It's got lint that stuck to it. When I was a kid, I did dumb shit too. Like, there was one time I took a marker and wrote Todd on the wall. And I was probably like five. And my dad, and we were just like, we were just learning to write like our names in school. So I was like, I practiced in marker on the wall because I'm an idiot. And my dad was like, hey, Todd, why did you do this? And I was like, it wasn't me. Because I thought maybe I could lie my way out of it. Yeah.
I mean, that is a foolproof way to foolproof way to frame something.
It really is. Yeah, absolutely.
Write their name on
their name. Yeah, so they're arresting this guy, and they keep giving each other these eyes, like they get really hot when they each pull their guns out at each other.
Why did Stella have a gun?
Because she's the fire marshal. I think it's a flare. Okay. I think it's a flare gun or a flamethrower.
I don't think you know what flamethrowers look like if you think that's a flamethrower. But a flare gun?
I just think like a fire marshal, wouldn't they have a flare?
I don't know. I mean, what are you going to shoot at the... I don't know. Maybe fire marshals do carry a gun.
The fire is shooting at us. That's from The Office.
The only way to fight fire
is with a flamethrower.
Is with lead. I mean, honestly, though, she works like her area of responsibility is Alaska, and there's like wild wolves and bears and stuff. So, I mean, I guess it's not outside the protection. Yeah, it's not outside the realm of possibility she might have a gun.
So they like meet cute, arrest Ben Foster.
Is it a meet cute if it's your wife?
It's a reunited cute.
It is a reunite cute.
Yeah, reunite
for sure. Yeah.
It's like foreplay arresting him.
Ooh.
Except they never. Although, I don't know, we don't see all of the days.
No. It does skip ahead. And I'll say this. It goes from like day 7 to day 13 and then day 27. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot of banging going on.
Oh, yeah. And we were talking, Lana and I were saying, if that was me, every 10 minutes I would have been to Josh Hartnett. You know, we might die in the next 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We got to make the most of the time we've got left.
Yeah. You definitely would have got pregnant in that month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's within 30 days, so you probably wouldn't know until the threat is eliminated.
Yeah.
And then you don't get your period and alert the vampires. Win-win.
It is a win-win, Josh. Come have sex with us, Josh.
Everyone.
You got to pound the town to save
the town.
This is 30 Days of Nights. Dollar sign. We're writing this movie, although Josh dies at the end of this one, so I'll have to figure out a way to bring him back.
Maybe he's undead. We didn't see his body disintegrate.
Actually, we didn't see his body disintegrate.
Maybe he becomes a sun vampire.
And... we could just say that Bubbo Anthony Bourdain was the Dracula and it cures them all.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But one of the vampires gets away or whatever and doesn't, I don't know. We'll figure it out in post.
We'll work it out in post production.
It's fine. All I know, dollar sign on 30 Days of Nights, dollar sign.
We'll get started on all the love scenes with Josh Hartnett.
Sorry. Josh Hartnett is so dreamy. I'm
not being totally
Jen, you're married.
I know. He's not on my list either. Maybe I should put him
on. Is he not? You have a list, though, right?
I do.
I don't have a list, really. Because
I need a list.
What if they ever come in town?
Exactly.
I have two redheads on my list, and that's it.
Yeah, you have Jessica Chastain and Bryce Dallas Howard.
Right. So I have the two redheads on my list. Oh, stupid hot. But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't need five.
Well, I like
those
to have
two
options.
Are perfect.
Yeah, Adam Scott is my forever list.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I'll put Adam Scott on my list.
Yeah, dude.
He's my third.
Oh, yeah.
If I could...
we got it.
Yeah, if I could Devil's Three-Way with anybody, it'd be Adam Scott.
Oh, yeah.
We would cones of Dunshire all over that lucky lady.
Gross.
Lena has no idea what we're talking about. Lena's like, I didn't watch Parks and Rec.
Yeah, no,
so good.
I need to. He's so dreamy. I've watched some, but...
So they just arrested Dreamy McDreamer Face from 310 to Yuma. But doing it, they were like, oh.
Oh, no, Ben Foster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was in 310 to Yuma, yeah.
Then they remembered how hot it was when they used to arrest bad guys in Alaska all the time.
You make it sound like they're like Riggs and Murtaugh, but she was like fire and rescue and he was a cop.
But I think they're like in Alaska, they're really one of three or four law enforcement people. So basically, anytime there's any kind of problem, they're
in
the
all
ones
of Alaska, there are three or four law enforcement people.
Right. In all of this town.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah. But she works a bigger area than that because she was going to get to the plane and go to Anchorage.
But she may not have always been a fire marshal. Maybe she was a police lady.
You're reading into it a lot more than there is there, but yeah.
Well, yeah.
Don't they, in the next scene, it's like Stella and Josh and Ben Foster's in the back of the cruiser, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like taken into the jail. They're like, you're the only new person in town. You must have been the person that killed the dogs.
Yes.
I don't know if they verbalize that, but I'm sure that's what they're thinking. And they take him to jail.
No, I do think they said, like, how did you get here? Nobody saw you. Somebody would have seen you come into town.
Right.
Yeah, because he walked in. I think we're supposed to assume he walked in from the north, which is nowhere.
I mean, if that's the northernmost city,
from a big
and
giant
you're coming
ship
in from the north of
on.
That, yeah, yeah, there's nothing up there. So
right,
yeah.
Exactly. And there's no, I guess there's no road out of this town either.
No, there's a road out of it because she was on the road out. Stella was on the road out of it when she got run into by
she
the.
She was on the road to the airport.
Well, yeah, but also a lot of people leave. I'm assuming a lot of people leave by driving out of the town. I mean, they also might have been taking flights because yeah. they leave and then right. she leaves and is late getting to the plane because she gets in an accident.
Yeah.
So you're right.
I'm always right.
I don't know.
I'd like to point out in my notes, I have something about yellow snow versus red snow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This yeah. is what Todd made a
is
joke
Is that when
about.
I made that joke?
Yes.
Yeah, because he went to go investigate Wilford Brimley.
He went to go investigate? Oh,
investigate.
That's right. So there...
Invest in my game.
Yeah, so saxophone. So they're in the sheriff's office and they lose power and the generator kicks on.
Yeah.
But also in this scene, we see that Josh Hartnett's little brother is there, and his grandmother are mm-hmm. all in the sheriff's office.
Yeah, and his grandmother smokes pot.
Right, this is where we find out she's got a grow house.
Because she has cancer,
right.
not because she's a criminal.
Right. This is before there were a lot of states legalizing it. So it's a medical issue, guys. Don't right. come at her in the DMs.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the power
goes. Dead.
Well, that's true. The power goes off and the generators kick back on and he's like, oh, I'm going to go check out the cell tower because the cell phones aren't working either. And that's where he goes up to the cell tower and finds
all the red snow.
Yeah. All yeah. the red snow. Yeah.
What did I say? It's like
spells out his name. Or like an arrow
there's
to his head.
Snow angel in it. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's pink now.
And then we got a jump scare of him just looking up.
Yeah, so
and it did scare Todd.
Yeah,
a Wilford Brimley head.
Yeah, well, and they haven't explained this yet,
head, yes.
but it's just the head on a pike, and mm-hmm. they're doing that because if you don't, they turn into vampires,
right?
And they don't want to create new vampires;
right.
they just want to kill everybody and feed, I guess. So anyway, so yeah, I think the joke I made was like, I know what to do with yellow snow, but I have no idea what to do with red snow. Yeah.
Right, and that's how you could tell that he was scared.
Yeah, I was very
scared. That joke was not that funny.
I mean, even in the clip we posted on social, where I can't remember exactly what it was
it
or
was
what jump scare
scene.
It was. Yeah, it was
Courtney Cox in the kitchen.
Yeah, I think it was right after that though, because I say something like, "Oh, you dumb," or whatever. And then
oh,
I,
you real dumb.
Oh, you real dumb. That's what it was. Oh.
Yeah.
If you're
okay.
not following us on social, guys, you missed that.
Right. Yeah, and so then we figure out, because I didn't understand why Wilford Brimley got killed.
I
but
think
it's because
just because
of the cell
he's
tower.
There. Yeah, I just think he was yeah. the first, like, the cell tower was outside of the city, and they're coming into the city, so he was just in their path of destruction.
Right, plus, if the cell tower is sabotaged, then they can't call for help.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So all of their means of getting out of this town are now gone.
The way back to the police station, Josh Hartnett is telling everyone to get to their house. Like,
yeah.
If you have a Jenny or generator, uh-huh. go to your house. If not, go to the cafe.
Right.
And then he goes to the... But I do know that Josh Hartnett is out of that. Where does Josh Hartnett
Josh
go?
Josh Hartnett is going to...
Or is... I thought it was while... I thought all of that went down while Josh Hartnett was at the cell tower.
I think he goes to check out the pipeline because I think... Oh, no. We just see the pipeline workers get snatched.
Yes.
But
which
yeah.
is pretty quick. And the only one that gets away is the woman. And it seemed like it was like two men and a woman leaving the pipeline factory because
yeah.
that's all it takes to run a whole pipeline.
And
it seemed like they were deciding who was going to fuck her that yeah. night.
No, whose it seems like whose
to?
House they are all going to go to.
Yeah, they're talking about where they're going to menage, but they're classy.
Yeah, but he is at the cell phone tower, I think, when the shit goes down with Ben Foster.
Yes.
Because he tricks the little brother into coming over and then he grabs him from behind. And then Josh Hartnett, like power move, shoots him in the arm.
I love that. So he just comes in and shoots him. He doesn't say anything like, get your hands on my brother
yeah.
or
get
nobody puts baby
hands
in the corner
off her.
Or
yeah,
anything
yeah.
like that, right? He just uh-huh. comes in and shoots him like nothing.
Right, right, right.
Which
yeah.
I liked quite a bit.
I did too, yeah. Because normally you will have that whole standoff between will they, won't they, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. He just baller
yeah,
shoots
saw, like,
him in the shoulder.
Blood hit the
right.
wall and it's like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, which I did really like because you don't even see him until he's already shot and free.
Exactly, which
and
is awesome.
And that's when I realized that it was his little brother because I don't think I put that together. I was too,
I don't think they actually say it till
they may
that.
Not.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. so he handcuffs Ben Foster to like the cell.
Yeah.
And then
he says, who does number two work for?
And then he questions him about
who number two works for. Yeah.
No,
who's
what is
coming? Who killed Wilford Brimley at the cell station? Who killed all the dogs? What the fuck is going on?
Dude's teeth, man. They just drive me crazy. Like,
yeah.
Get him a crest, white
dude, stress. They're all Ben Foster's.
Yeah, Ben
Foster. Yeah, Ben Foster has the grossest teeth.
Or is he trying to be like one of the vampires? He's like, I'm not a vampire, but I want to be some of this black shit.
Just going to stop brushing my teeth for 10 years.
Wherever he's from does not have dentists.
No, right. Or shampoo.
Yeah, he's pretty greasy.
I know, he's got Skeet Ulrich hair. So then they drive to the pipeline, and this is when the vampires tip their car over, and it's awesome.
Yeah, like they immediately get attacked by vampires. So I liked this part because it happened sooner than I thought it would. Like the reveal of the vampires are like in the town
because
happens
they drive
very quickly
up to something, and then they're just looking and they see like their binoculars and they say, get back in the car, and we don't see what it is. I think we forgot to talk about this.
Yeah,
and it's just a vampire on top trying to punch through the top.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't understand. So like, if it's cold outside. And I'm driving, I'm not going to get out of my car to do anything.
Yeah.
And they get out of their car like 4 times just to look at shit.
Maybe they just don't like to be cooped up.
That's so dumb.
That's why they live in Alaska. They don't like boxes.
Like, we're used to this shit.
Right.
Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah. We're made for this.
We live here because nobody else can. Yeah.
That's a stupid reason to live anywhere. If you're going to live somewhere, live because you have a job there or because whatever.
So then they tip the car over, but they pick it up from the back end and they flip it all the way over. And it's like that scene in Terminator 3.
Yeah. So like they land on the roof of the car and they're still in it. And this is where like I even said, I was like, well, they're both dead. Like there's no way you're coming out of this.
Do they not get pulled out, which is what the vampires
are trying to do. Yeah, they start to do that, but
and
what
then
happens?
Bobby saves the day.
Well, what happens? Because Stella...
She gets plowed again.
Stella cannot stop getting plowed in this movie.
But this time she gets plow saved.
Yes.
So it turns out better. There's a happy ending this time when she gets plowed.
It's about time she got a happy ending. Maybe that's why she left Josh.
Oh, for Bobby. Tell you, you don't leave Josh Hartnett for anybody.
Well,
Bobby had that great hat, didn't he?
Yeah, he had that Russian babushka hat.
Yeah,
for sure.
He had that beaver hat.
Yeah, absolutely. Stella's side of the passenger. No, Stella was driving. So Stella is on the driver's side, and Bobby in the plow just knocks out everyone on the driver's side. And then Stella gets out and runs to the plow. And then Josh Hartnett does the same thing. He runs the plow, and he barely makes it in.
Mm-hmm. So they get saved from the vampires by Bobby.
Yeah.
And then they go back and start yelling at Ben Foster, and Ben Foster's still handcuffed to the thing. He said, they didn't take me.
Oh, yeah, because they did take the grandma and, you think, his brother.
Right. And he tries to get Josh Hartnett to kill him because he's sad because they didn't vampire him.
Ben Foster is, yeah. He tries to suicide by cop.
So then I said the vampires are here because I think this might be the first time we start to see the vampires.
Well, we've seen them in the attack of Bubba Walter Brimley. We've seen them in the attack of the threesome couples.
And in the car.
And in the car,
On top of the car.
But really, the car is where you see, it's more than just two or three. Like, it's 5 or 6 at least.
Right. And this is when we first see them, like, get a clear look at them when we start to hear them speak to each other, too. With subtitles.
Well, quote unquote speak because
some of it's clicking.
Yeah. I don't think any of it's clicking. I think it's mainly just like they're just making sounds and they're putting subtitles on it.
It's kind of like the creepy crawlies from The Descent mixed with like Sweden.
It's more just like Swedish. There's no creepy crawly in it at all.
There's clicks and echolocation stuff and like just walking around with their mouths open for a while.
There's walking around with their mouths open, but there's no clicks or echolocation stuff because they have the gift of sight.
No, they click.
Yeah, in so much as they hang together in a group, they're in a click.
They like to
click. For sure, yeah.
No, they do click, listeners. So then we cut to the diner where everybody's scared, and they kind of start talking about who all's been killed. We find out that Curly Brother is still alive.
Yeah, this is where Josh Hartnett reunites with his brother, and everyone there, this is where they start to realize, I think they're vampires.
Right.
Like,
I
don't think they exist.
Going on.
But I think they're vampires. We have shot some, and they keep coming.
Right. Shit's getting real. Yes. And then we see a couple in their house get killed by Anthony Bourdain. His name is Marlowe.
But anyway, so this is that kitchen scene
we'll
that's in the trailer.
No. This is just a couple, and head vampire and lady vampire are just killing them. And this is when we get the really long nails on the record player.
Oh,
scratching
a track.
DJ.
Oh, this is when I made the DJ joke.
Uh-huh. Yes. And then they all just like look to the heavens and start making vampire screamy sounds. And unleash vampire mayhem. Because this is when they just start wrecking the town.
Yeah, this is honestly, DJ Vampire is the what's, that is what kicks off the vampire killing montage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's pretty brutal.
It is real brutal. I thought the kitchen scene happened before that.
No.
There's like a guy sitting at like a...
No, that hasn't happened yet. Okay. I wrote it down. No, maybe it has happened.
Because honestly, it's not that important.
What's important about it is that it scared you. Everybody starts getting killed. And then they just walk in and they look at everybody and they're like, did you guys see all that shit out there?
Yeah.
It's like the weirdest reaction shot. They're like, yeah, shh. So, yeah. Because there's just like red stains all over the snow.
Well, and those red stains are blood, Jen.
No, I know what it is. I'm familiar. But we get like a pan out of the town and we just see like tons of red splotches everywhere.
I wish that every time someone died, they would show a shot of the welcome to Borrow.
And it would change the number on it.
You knew how many was left.
And then they could like do a big gong and have like a projection of their face in the sky.
Exactly. Yeah. Now we're on the same page.
That. Right. Yeah. Yes. And then we know that their district is not.
And we know Katniss Everdeen's still in the fight.
Yeah.
They do not volunteer tribute.
Is that it? Yeah.
Josh Hartnett standing in the middle of the street, three fingers up.
I do volunteer as Josh Hartnett's tribute. Yes. Yes. I will volunteer.
I will stand by that. I think Stella left him because he could not get her to climax.
Oh. No. He knows what to do. Haven't you seen? Oh, you haven't seen The Faculty yet.
He definitely looks like a guy who rests on how pretty he is to get women, not his sexual prowess.
You know, he left Hollywood for like 10 years because he didn't want to be part of the machine.
Or is it because he couldn't get work?
Oh, no, he was getting work. Have you seen what he looks like? That guy's going to work.
That guy could do work.
Work,
boy. Like the rent is due. Yeah, oh, dude. And this is when they make the whisper plan. And this is the beginning of Josh Hartnett squatting and whispering for...
Yeah, he does a lot of squat work in this movie.
Right. He does.
Like,
yeah.
No joke.
He's got calves of steel.
Yes, they're on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah. Am I uncomfortably objectifying him too much in this episode?
No.
I mean, he's just so dreamy. Oh, yeah. So they make this, they hatch a whisper plan to go to the attic. And on the way over, this is when the vampires attack the police jeep and tip it over. And this is when Bobby saves them with the plow.
They do that to create a diversion so everyone else in the cafe can get into the attic,
right.
The Anne Frank attic. And yes. The only reason we say that is because it's very difficult to see where the ladder is to get in it so they can mm-hmm. hide there from the vampires. And they right. do for a week or two.
And that's their plan for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the timeline a little bit mixed up because there's several times when Stella gets plowed and they are attacked inside.
Honestly,
cars.
I'm pretty sure Josh plowed her a lot. They just didn't show it.
I know, and I wish they had.
Gross.
Dude,
because it would have been like a hot, sexy plowing. Uh-huh. It would have been like an enemy at the gates, people around trying not to pretend like they can like hear and see what's going on.
Like and bar plowing,
like really so gross. Yeah,
we talked about Josh Hartnett's stubble.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the clearly like pasted seven on stubble because Josh Hartnett can't actually grow a beard?
Oh, no,
because
he
looks like a 19-year-old that works at a MAPCO.
He grows a sensitive beard.
So, no, he doesn't. It is like the dirtiest rat, dirty ass beard I've ever seen in my life.
No.
So if you think about
beautiful.
It, Stella's going to have some stubble, you know, girl. Uh-huh.
She got some stubble burns, yeah.
Yeah. She might have some hairy legs going on.
Yeah, hey, she might.
So for
might
sure.
Be into that?
It's hot.
But at least she doesn't look like.
It's earthy.
Yeah.
At least her beard does not make her look like she's not allowed within 500 feet of a school.
Oh,
like
I
Josh
like
Hartnett
his beard.
Does.
Yeah.
You don't like his beard. You want to have sex with him.
Well,
there's
yes.
a difference.
I like that.
His beard
too.
Makes him look like he touches children for a living.
Yeah, I like it. I have dated a couple of guys who grow beards like that.
That does not at all surprise me.
One of them may or may not have looked exactly like Adam Driver.
One may or may not have worked at a Twice Daily.
No, it was a Sitco Express.
Yeah. Prove my point.
So Josh Hartnett's growing 7 days of stubble. They are living in the attic, just hanging out. Then the main vampire goes to check on Ben Foster, who's still there, and kills him, which is sad for him. Because he doesn't get to be a vampire forever.
He literally says to Ben Foster in the vampire language, "You did everything we asked you," and then kills him.
"We'll take care of you."
Yeah.
And then he says, "These stupid people, they'll believe anything," and then kills him. Yeah. Which just goes to show, guys, the vampires do not love you. They don't have your back.
Him.
Yeah. Don't be a familiar.
So if you're a fang banger, you might want to rethink.
Right.
Fang banger is from what show is that?
True Blood.
True Blood, that's it. So they're in the attic, and they're planning. They're like, they're thinking, we got to get out of here, mm-hmm. all that stuff, right?
And they start to argue because they're getting a little stir crazy.
Yeah, well, some, like, I think the old man, so there's like an old guy and his son.
Yes.
And there's a dude who's just being a dick about whatever, I can get out of here. It's not going to be any big deal.
Mm-hmm. He's got red hair.
But the old guy, I think, is senile.
He may have some dementia.
I think he's got some dementia.
Yeah.
Because I think he doesn't come across as like a chauvinist idiot like the other guy does.
He's just tired of being stuck in this fucking attic, and he doesn't remember why they're up there. Yeah,
but the reason I think that is because when he leaves and goes downstairs, which we're almost to this part, because this happens after the 7 days they were up there.
Yeah.
He goes downstairs, and the son follows them, mm-hmm. and then Stella follows.
This hasn't happened yet,
though. Well, I mean, this is pretty much the next thing that happens, right?
No. The next thing that happens is the little bait girl is wandering around. The pink sweater bait girl.
Right.
Yeah, which is the first time we start to realize that they're trying to draw people out this way.
Yeah, and the first time they use a bait person.
To their credit, they figure it out. But Josh Hartnett is dreamy and has a heart of gold, so he wants to go save her. So he goes down outside and tries to, and he's not really able to save her because they start cutting her up and then they just kill her. But he sees the underhouse man from the Courtney Cox kitchen. We forgot about mentioning the Courtney Cox kitchen kill.
Courtney Cox. It's not
Bobo
actually Courtney Cox.
Kitchen kill. Yeah.
So like Courtney Cox and this guy they get abducted from their house and she gets killed and you think he gets killed too.
Right.
But he just gets transformed into a vampire.
But we see him underneath the house and we're thinking like, wait, but wouldn't he be frozen to death? How did he last?
Yeah, he's been there
seven days
at this point.
Yeah. And then we realize because he is starting to turn into a vampire.
And this is the first time we see someone turned.
Right, exactly. So then I call him under the house vampire.
If your teeth are pointy and your eyes are black, you're getting an axe attack.
Yeah, which is what happened.
Nailed it!
So then, Hartnett just chops him.
I mean, this guy, like, I don't know, like, Hartnett actually has some...
He's about to attack him.
And I'll say this, Hartnett's a pretty dude. We said this before. He's a pretty dude, but he's also a decent actor. Like, he's not bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's the best,
but
he can definitely hold his own.
Yeah.
You can tell in this that he doesn't really want to kill that guy because they're not friends, but acquaintances for sure. Because
there's only like 12 people in this town, so they all know each other.
Literally, I think the number was 546, and that's a small-ass town.
And
you definitely know
the sheriff, so his job is to know everybody.
Yeah, and I'm sure he does. And you can tell he doesn't want to kill this person, but eventually does because he realizes what's happening.
And that happens a lot, but he really doesn't hesitate too much to kill people, you know?
Well, I mean, in all fairness, even if you know someone and they're attacking you and it's you or them, which it clearly is in this situation, you choose yourself over them all the time.
Right. And I don't think he's specifically trying to chop his head off. I think that's just what happens. And that's when we realize that chopping their head off is what keeps them from turning into vampires.
I like to point out, I love the way that he axes people in this. Mm-hmm. It's not one clean cut. It's like, five.
It's three at least.
This is when the old man wants to leave.
Yeah, so he goes downstairs, and this is why I think he's senile. Because he goes downstairs and the son follows, and so does Stella.
Dementia. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Stella
does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the old man turns to his son and says, "Go get your mom. We're gonna get out of here." Mm-hmm. And their mom is not there.
Right.
So that's why I think he's sort of senile.
Yeah.
And they
also, why would he want to walk out of the house if he knows that there's a vampire threat?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, he does come back, and he's like, okay, whatever, we'll stay.
Yeah.
Let me go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And that's when he locks the bathroom door and then goes out the window.
Oh, I missed that part.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So he goes out the bathroom window. The son figures out a way to open the bathroom door, sees that he got out of the bathroom window, and then starts to go out the front door. And this is where him and Stella tussle.
Uh-huh.
And she hits her face on some end table or whatever.
He elbows her out of the way, and she face plants into the newel post of the step.
Yeah, and then he goes out the front door.
And then never has a bruise about it. Like
So the son goes outside, which I sort of get. You got to save your dad.
Yeah.
But he does the stupidest thing and goes, "Dad! Dad!" Like, just yelling for the vampires to come kill him.
And then
they
do.
But then Stella's like, "Well, you're dead, so I'm going back upstairs." And she does.
But he and his dad are reunited.
Well, we don't know that for sure. In fact, we never see his dad die.
Uh-oh.
We only see him get grabbed, right? So in my mind, he's the first one that got away.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's like the girl from The Mist who just wanders home to her house.
Exactly. Oh, if Clint Eastwood had directed this movie, it would have been called The Walk, and it would have been about that old man walking from that town to the next town 80 miles away and getting people to come back and help them. Because in every one of Clint Eastwood's movies, Like the old white dude is the hero, and that uh-huh. makes me laugh every time.
Yep, and that reflects his politics.
Yeah. And when he gets to that town, he just starts yelling at an empty chair about uh-huh. going to help people.
Yeah. Oh, and then I wrote Stella and Hartnett have an annoying love scene where they say, "You help out your family. Would you ever help me out?"
Oh my God!
We
yeah.
ever, we
Do
were
you remember when
woman.
We were like that?
Yeah. He says no, and at some point she says something about how don't you wish you wanted to have kids or something. So I think we realized that the reason they separated is because one of them wanted to have kids and the other one didn't.
It seemed like Josh didn't want to have kids,
right?
At least based upon that one interaction,
right? Because it's yeah. really cold. He just doesn't want to bring babies.
Dude,
into
I would
coldness.
Think if it was really cold, whether I wanted to have kids or not, it would be a byproduct of the action we were doing to stay warm.
Right, because that's a legitimate way to keep yourself warm. Also, if you look like Josh Hartnett, you're probably having that action a lot.
Yeah, you're predisposed to passing those genetics.
And I kind of do like, because I don't really like Melissa George that much in this movie, I like that they don't make a huge deal about their love story and that we don't really find out a ton of details about it. Because I don't really care that much.
And we don't really need it. They're separated. There
exactly.
is some connection there.
If
and
they are not going to hook up, I don't care about their romance. You know?
If they weren't still married or separated or whatever, if she was just a townsperson, mm-hmm. do you think that would have changed his final decision?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to get into it yet, but...
Yeah, because I think he would have been in love with her from afar.
I don't think it would have changed his decision either, because we saw him go out and try and help the first bait woman.
Exactly.
And they
yeah.
had no predetermined anything, any
He's
relationship
got a heart
or whatever.
Of gold.
Sure. And that's what they're setting up with that bait woman. Whatever. So
exactly.
Anyway,
she saves bait girl.
Yeah. Well, at the very end, yeah. she being Melissa George or
okay.
Stella.
Right. So then it starts snowing and they've got to move on to the next.
Yeah.
House.
Which is what they were waiting for, because they right. didn't want to leave tracks.
Yeah. And
to
they were
wherever
waiting
they
for
go
the
next.
Whiteout.
Right. So they wait for the snowstorm and then they bone out.
And they go to the Tremors store.
They do. Yes. They go to like the Graboid store from right. Tremors, and they stay there for a while. Oh, this is probably the biggest scare of the movie for
yes.
me.
And then they start to hear stuff. It's like Gage
oh,
as a vampire.
Man, I hated this. Gage?
Pet Cemetery? She says, "I've played with this one. Now I want to play with you. Are you
so
playing
like,
with me now?"
It's like the first episode of The Walking Dead. Yeah. The cold Sweet open girl. Of The Walking Dead is Rick Grimes killing yeah. a child, which is the Ooh, yeah, best that's... way to open that show.
Bold moves.
Yeah. Yeah, that first season was amazing, and then after that, they shit the bed continuously.
Yeah.
For and
I did watch the first season.
I cannot believe that show is still on. So do they have any sort of decoy when they? Go somewhere. I can't remember.
We didn't talk about the little girl vampire attack.
No, I'm talking about when they're getting there. We can talk about.
Oh, no, the snow is the decoy.
Okay, yes. So they don't have like, because sometimes when they're transferring locations, Hartnett will run decoy or like
right.
whatever.
But I don't think they've gotten to that point yet.
Okay,
because they still
I
have
they
the
did
cover.
It a few times.
They move
oh,
under
they do
cover
it two times.
Snow.
The first time is to the Anne Frank attic, and the next time is when he goes to the grow house. We'll talk about it in a second.
Little girl vampire.
Very scary.
Yeah, this did scare Todd a lot, and I had forgotten about this. And one thing that I think is cool about this is we never find out who that girl is. They're like, "Do you know her? Do you know her?"
Yeah. No. But yeah, I mean, like, there were 100 and some people still left in the town. She might have just been a girl of
yeah.
someone who was already killed.
I think she came with the vampires, maybe. That's what I imagine.
I mean, that also could yeah. be true, because she is already a vampire.
Right.
Now, they've been there long enough that she could have changed, because the guy under the house was already a vampire too, but we don't know. But the part that scared me the most was she runs into a back room that's completely dark, mm-hmm. and Josh Hartnett goes up to sort of kill her with the axe,
yeah.
and then she just bolt runs out of there. And when she comes into view and is like screaming, I Ugh. Fucking freaked out.
Yeah, he did.
It was very
and
scary.
She attacks, what did you call his name? Ladies man? Tim Meadows? Meadows.
She attacks yeah. Tim Meadows,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
And not like, actually Tim Meadows.
No, it's Bobo Tim Meadows. But he does look a lot like Tim Meadows.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they pull her off and they like pin her up against a wall and they're trying to figure
yeah,
out
like
what to
Josh
do.
And Bobby
yeah, mm-hmm.
from Sons of Anarchy is holding them against the wall and they're like, "Give me the axe, give me the axe,
yeah.
give me the axe." And then
Curly's brother chops her to the neck.
Yeah.
Damn. And I think that because, like, I don't think he would have done that if he had known who she was. If it was like his yeah. friend's kid from down the street or something.
You don't think the brother would have?
No, I don't
yeah,
think
probably
so.
Not.
Because he has a hard time with it and we see him reacting to it and Josh Hartnett's comforting him and saying, you had to, you know.
Well, and then Bobby's like, "You did the right thing."
Right, exactly.
And I was like, no shit.
Right.
She's a vampress.
She's trying to kill everybody.
Yeah.
A tiny vampress.
Ooh.
All right, so then we've got this sun lamp plan, and we're on day 18.
Hang on 1 second. Before we get to all that, they stay in Tremor Store for, mm-hmm. I don't know, like another week, right?
Yeah, which is a good plan, you
know? I mean, yeah, this is the first time they've had access to toilet paper,
right?
To
and your
food.
Poop bucket could actually be a toilet. Yeah.
Tampons, the condoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could smell your blood.
A back room. Gross. Yeah.
Josh said it.
I know, but you said it way creepier.
I don't know, man. He said it real creepy.
Well, Josh Hartnett can say anything.
Exactly. Double standard. I think I'm as handsome as Josh Hartnett.
Well, you know, you got to look, do you?
Holy shit. It's like one of those compliments you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like when my dad told me, I remember this. I was like 9 and my dad was like, yeah, you got one of those faces for radio. And I thought it was a compliment.
Aww.
And then when I was 13, I was like, oh, shit.
My
that
dad
was a joke.
Just nagged me.
Yeah,
I know,
he
right?
Roasted you.
Or like last time when your girlfriend said that your gray shirt brought out the gray in your hair.
That's very hurtful. I was not a fan of that
at all. But you left it in the podcast.
I can tell what edit you listened to this morning.
That's true.
I did leave it in the podcast because it was fun.
It was funny. Yeah,
yeah. And I'll leave in shit that's, you know, a little embarrassing
for
me.
You're not
too vain. No, it's fine.
Yeah, who cares?
Whatever.
It makes you look distinguished.
Exactly.
That's where men have it. Easy.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So on day 18, they decide to venture out and leave. Where are they heading at this
They're
point?
They're going to Granny Grow House.
No. Only Josh is going to Granny's Grow House.
Okay. What's the deal? So they want to get to this big factory place.
I think with the
oil refiner.
I think they're trying to go to the oil refinery.
The pipeline
right?
place.
Yeah. I think. But Josh Hartnett is acting as the decoy because Granny's got a grow house.
Granny's got a grow house.
Whoops.
And a bright sunlight. Ooh, ooh. And she kills some vamps. What did that vampire do? I lost the thread of the song.
Honestly.
What did that vampire do? Ran out of her last IOU.
Oh, now you're using real lyrics.
She got a sunlight to the face. And then she turned real gray. Yay, yay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aerosmith in the building.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm awesome. I got a scarf tied around my microphone right now.
The bass player for Aerosmith lives here in town.
Does he really?
And I played a show with his son.
I have friends who have played shows with him.
What the fuck are we talking about? Oh, so on day 18, they decide to do the plan where they transfer to the refinery or the pipeline factory or whatever they're going to. And the distraction is going to be Hartnett going to the grow house because there's UV lights there.
Yeah.
And he's going to start.
I think is a dumb plan. I don't think it's UV. I think it's the awesome power of the sun that actually is what repels vampires. And joke's on him if they just turn all sparkly for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
But it doesn't.
Sorry, I didn't get that originally.
Oh,
I was
didn't?
Like, oh, like Team Edward. Sorry.
Yeah, because you haven't read Twilight?
No, I read the first book of Twilight and hated it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Josh Hartnett then runs to Grandma's house, starts the generator, and runs into the grow house room.
I want to make an over the river and through the woods joke.
Sort of, yeah. And then starts the generator and goes into the grow house room and pulls one off the ceiling and is just like holding it against the floor. It's on, but it's against the floor.
Yeah.
But he's making all this noise, so they're the vampires are like,
hey, come and get me. He's Jeff Goldblum.
He literally is.
Them.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So he's getting all of them to come to the house, and that allows the other people to go to the refinery or just get out of the Tremor store. And then they finally do come in, the vampire or vampress who could get it.
Uh-huh.
She could get it.
I mean, honestly.
She comes in and gets it.
Oh, yeah. She does. I mean, she gets a facial for sure.
She does.
But she could get it. She was pretty hot. Anyway, so she runs in. He
reveals the awesome power of the sun lamp.
Yeah, he reveals the awesome power of the sun lamp. And she gets her facial, and then she falls down outside. And then this is the part that I was like, this is a really dumb plan. Because the generator's not in the house. The generator's in the garage. So they just go turn off the generator.
Exactly. He's walkie-talking. He's like, they're about to cut the generator. And then they do seconds later. So
it
now
blew
he's just
my
stuck.
Mind that he knew that going in, that they were going to do that. Like, oh, you're just going to die?
Yeah. He's and the sheriff.
Anyway, he does get away, though. How does he get away?
I don't know how he gets away.
None of that makes sense to me.
Marlo is sad about his vampire lady.
Well, yeah, he has to kill her.
Oh, weak. Bobby takes the chainsaw plow. Yes.
Oh,
and that's
so Bobby
how
is the
work.
Ooh.
That was a
cool it was
kill.
A double decoy.
A double decoy.
That's what it was.
They don't know.
Listen,
we know. They know he's a decoy.
My favorites are the double D. Coys. So, nailed it. It's a boob joke. I was into it, though. Anyway, so they...
Oh, thank God, because I thought it was a different kind of double D joke.
Yeah.
Like a DVD-A joke?
Yeah.
Gross. Anyway, so Bobby is just driving through town with a saw plow.
Bobby Mr. Plows, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so he is, like, with a shotgun in the front seat, so he's just, like, blasting them as they're coming up to attack him.
Yeah.
And there is one cool shot where he shoots one of them, like, in the shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And then they fall forward onto the saw and get sawed in half.
Yes. It is
that
cool.
Was sick. I don't like grotesque stuff, and it wasn't really overly gruesome. It was just like, it was cool. I liked it. I liked that kill.
And here's the thought, because you mentioned that, and I started thinking, Todd's getting used to horror movies. Todd's
I don't
starting
think so,
to kind of appreciate it.
So I remember we talked about the Outlaw King, where the guy gets cut, and it's like really grotesque and gruesome. You see like his entrails start spilling out.
And you threw
don't
up
see any
you
of that
sick.
Shit. Well, yeah. You don't see any of that shit with this. It's like a clean cut in half, and you never see him again.
That's true.
So it wasn't overly grotesque. And that's why I think I liked it, because it was just like,
it was kind of cool.
It was more that than like a sort of a thing.
Is the opposite of an Oscar Wilde laugh, just in case you were wondering.
No, the ha-ha is from The Simpsons. So Bobby is like blasting through these vampires as they're attacking him.
And
this
is sad.
Really dumb. Why not just continue driving them out of town?
Yeah.
Because they're going to chase him.
Yeah.
Why not just drive him out of town? But he, I think in his mind, is going to get them all in this building and then blow it up with whatever, dynamite, or I think it was just like a box of flares.
Independence Day himself.
He does.
He did, yeah.
He definitely.
Take care of my daughter, man.
Yeah.
But it doesn't even kill him.
It doesn't.
His plan doesn't
and
even
it's
kill
sad.
Him.
It just he burns him.
On.
It doesn't kill Bloodbeard.
It doesn't, yeah.
Or any of them.
You
so and then he goes outside
because
and
it's
then.
It's so cold.
I don't think that's why. I just don't think flares explode like he thought they were going to explode. So his legs catch on fire and some of the vampires catch on fire.
Out of the house. None of the vampires actually die either.
No, they catch on fire and then they just roll around in the snow and they're fine. And then Bobo Anthony Bourdain comes over and squishes
his
head to death. Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah. Honestly, though, that's probably the best way to go.
True.
Opposed to like them eating you.
Yeah, or at least eating you while you're alive.
Right.
Yeah. And I just realized like why he did all of that, because I felt really bad that he just died, but Josh Hartnett does get to the place.
That's
so,
the double
so
D coy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one D made it out.
True. And it's the D that Jen most wants protected.
That is
that's
definitely
right.
true. Yeah. The most important D of the movie.
And
yeah.
then so he gets back to where... So he meets
he's
back
so
up.
Hot.
So he meets back up with the survivor crew.
Yeah, I'm just gonna look at a picture of him for the rest of the podcast.
Hey, so what happens next, Jen?
Josh Hartnett just walked onto the screen and just stared into my soul for 45 minutes.
Oh my God,
he's so hot. He's gonna have to be on my list.
Bobo Tim Meadows. This is
so
where he reveals.
There's
oh,
only five of. There's no, only there's, six of us left, and he turns around slowly and he reveals his parka face and he says, "Soon there will only be five." And then
he's
he tells
thirsty.
This really sad monologue. Yeah.
I know.
He says, "I'm thirsty, all I can think about." And so there have been pictures
his
of his family and they're talking
yeah.
about his family like he just hasn't brought them into town and they live on the outskirts or in like an igloo somewhere.
Right. Anyway, so this is where he reveals that his family was actually killed by a drunk driver.
His family's been dead for 10 years.
Well, maybe not that long, but and that he so when he reveals that he's a vampire, I was like, someone should just axe him in the face while he's talking.
Yeah.
Why are they even letting him talk? But then he reveals, and I sort of like this because I'm an emotional, sad dude, but like he reveals that he doesn't want to be a vampire because he doesn't want to live forever. He wants to go be with his family.
Right.
So Josh Hartnett's like, "Hey, Bobo Tim Meadows, let me talk to you in this back office
Let's
here real quick.
Step into my axe office."
Yeah. And so they go back there.
Let me ask you a question.
So they go in the back office, and then you like after like 15
you hear
seconds,
some chops.
You hear at least three chops.
Exactly.
Right? And then he comes back. No Bobo
He's
tomatoes.
A marshal, not a surgeon. He didn't go to 8 years of evil cop Alaska school to chop somebody's head off in one swing.
Right. So he comes out of the office without Bobo Tim Meadows insinuating that he died.
Yeah, he's getting pretty good at mercy acts in some people, too.
I think that's the second mercy acts he's done, right? No, I think that may be the first.
Yeah. No, it's the second because Swing Set under
Swing
House
Set wasn't
Man.
A mercy axe. That dude was fucking attacking
him. Oh, that's
him.
True.
Yeah.
And so then they're sad for a couple of days. Then they start to see a flashlight in one of the windows. Mm-hmm. And they run over to the house and they find out it's Billy, who was the deputy from the very beginning that I had forgotten about and actually thought he was another person because everyone has like furry parkas on and everybody's kind of dirty and it's unless you have
red,
curly hair.
Yeah, I mean, they've been stuck in this town that's under attack for 27 days, I think, at this point.
Of night.
Exactly.
So we don't have the awesome power of the sun to illuminate the differences right. in these people's in the faces. Dark. So then we go up to Billy's house, and he's just sitting there being sad, and we see a bloodstained sheet covering.
And it looks like there's three bodies in it. Was yeah, it three or?
I think so.
I don't know how many we know.
I don't think we know enough about his family to know how many kids they have, but we right. did know he was married.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he's been talking about them through the whole movie.
Yeah, I did know yeah. he had a wife and a family, right? So he had more than just a wife.
I think
but
it's three girls for some reason. I don't know if that's true or not. It doesn't matter because he doesn't have any children anymore.
Yeah,
because
spoiler alert, yeah. he misted them.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
And that sounds like a dirty thing.
But it's more just like a hellishly awful
movie,
thing.
The mist. Yeah, yeah, it is really bad. He doesn't want them to go out vampire.
He doesn't want them to be eaten to death, so he kills them. Yeah. And then just, I guess, stays alive in his house.
He was going to kill himself.
Yeah, he had the gun jammed. If he really wanted to kill himself, he would just walk out screaming to the vampires. Like Mist Guy did.
Absolutely. Yeah. yeah.
But he ends up saving a kind of day later on, so I guess it works out.
Yeah, he has a redemption moment, but...
Mm-hmm. But Josh Hartnett's real mad because you're supposed to protect your family, and that's like his theme. So then they drag him, slow motion through the snow, drag him back to the Tremors
yeah.
store.
Yeah.
And then the vampires are starting to talk. This is when it starts to go a little off the rails for me, because the vampires, they could, like, the 30 days of night are almost over and they can just let these people go. But then not Anthony Bourdain is talking about how we've worked for so long.
Right, for a thousand years.
1,000 years to convince Bram Stoker to make a book about us so nobody would believe that we exist.
Right.
And that we might be sparkly
or
sometimes.
That we were their dreams or,
exactly.
or just in their dreams. Yeah.
And now we can't let them go because then everyone in America will believe that vampires exist now.
What they weren't counting on was Clint Eastwood's The Walk.
Oh, yeah. That guy got away.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 years from now, he'll end up in Utah and he'll tell his story.
Why does he walk all the way to Utah? He's got to walk through Sheboygan, Beirut, Channel of Nile, all of these places.
Going through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri.
Oh, God, I love how you ruin jokes with songs. Okay.
Aww, so I make jokes better with songs.
Well, that was another example of threes.
No, I know. I have to do it. Yeah. So then we see Decoy Kid running around.
Or
yeah.
a girl.
It's
they
a girl.
They want to destroy
girl.
Everyone. Okay, hold on. So
well, no,
then,
this is where they start releasing oil, right?
No.
Oh, no, they don't
no,
yet.
No, this is when Billy gets chomped in the chomper. So Billy, they're in the factory.
Oh, yeah. So they leave Tremor Store and go to the factory.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. Billy gets attacked by Bloodbeard.
Yes.
He's getting Bloodbearded. And then mm-hmm. they bonk Bloodbeard over into the chomper.
Josh Hartnett, I think it is, but it's hard to tell because they're
vampire.
Fighting, but it's one of the vampires, yeah. So Josh Hartnett comes out with the axe to attack him, and then Bloodbeard, or maybe not Bloodbeard, one of the vampires who's attacking them, knocks the axe out of his hand, and then he just starts like Krav Maga-ing everybody. That's
right.
Like, so everyone's trying to fight this guy, and he gets Josh Hartnett over the can destroy anything chomper that is in this factory.
Yeah, it's like a giant garbage disposal metal crusher.
Yeah, and then Josh Hartnett's about to go in it, and this is where Billy, the guy who is going to have his redemption moment because mm-hmm. he murdered his family, sort of grabs the vampire and then shoves him in and he gets his arm ripped off.
Yeah, but
like
he's also been bitten by Bloodbeard, so he's starting to turn into a vampire.
Yeah,
and we get the grossest
holy shit. This was gruesome.
Yeah. It was because it's not just one chomp. Uh-huh.
No, it's three, and we all three chomps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like the camera's just on him, and we see the axe go in him three times,
and
it progressively
and slowly tipping over.
Yeah, he progressively gets that taco neck syndrome, and then just falls over.
Yeah, and then we see his body a couple of times too. They paid a lot of money for that effect, and they were just going to run with it.
I mean, it serves its purpose, but it was hard to watch.
It is, yeah. And so that's his next mercy kill, and then we find out that Stella hasn't made it back yet because she went looking for this bloody kid who's a decoy kid, maybe.
No, I think the vampires were using that kid as a decoy for sure.
Yeah, I think so. And so she grabs the kid, but then there's just so much, I don't know.
No, there's a lot going on, and the vampires are coming, so she hides under a truck. Fast.
Yeah, so then we find out where she is. She's hiding with this kid.
Or under a Jeep or whatever.
Under a wreck. Then the vampires break into the pipeline, because they've decided they have to destroy all of these people. They're going to burn the town
And they're
going to
burn them out.
Burn them out, and then vampire kill them. And so then she's either going to die by burning, or she'll die by vampire. And so then Josh Hartnett has to go rage inject himself with vampire. And
I
vampire
thought this was so dumb.
I know. Because they could have just waited. Because okay, so let's just say what happens, and then we'll say why it's dumb.
Right.
So Hartnett infects himself with the blood of the vampires.
With the blood of Billy. It's Billy's blood.
Blood of Billy Vampire, yeah. And then he goes and fights the vampires. He throat punches not Anthony Bourdain through the mouth and like grabs his brain and pulls it back out the front after kind of a long fight. Well, the other vampires are just
But none of that matters. So like there's a lot of them beating each other up.
Yeah.
And the amount of force they're hitting each other with is great. So like they must have reinforced bones and stuff like that that Josh Hartnett magically has very quickly because he's now becoming a vampire. But then he would not be able to reach through his mouth and grab his brain. If the fight, like that they're sustaining, like that, that jumped the shark for me. I was like, this is real dumb.
So as I learned from Twilight, the most powerful portion of your vampire life is right after you've turned into a vampire because you still have all of your human blood in your veins and your vampire power. So that's what's making you so much more powerful. So you are able to mouth punch somebody, grab their brain and rip them out through their mouth. That's why Bella is so
powerful. So you think Stephanie Meyer wrote this?
No, I don't. Although the level of plot is around the same. But yeah, so he...
And let's think about this. This is at least day 29
and a half.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At least.
This is day 3 of Battle of Helm's Deep for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Nerds, if you're laughing, you're a nerd.
I love it.
And all of the all their vampires are just watching. They're like, I'm going to fight you, a vampire, a vampire.
Like, it's like they're filming with their phones and uploading it to Worldstar Hip Hop now.
Right. Immediately after this is over, the sun starts to come up.
Yeah.
And suddenly the fire is no longer a threat. So couldn't they just have waited it out? Because these vampires are going to have to go. And that's what makes me so sad, because Josh Hartnett sacrificed himself for no reason. Stupid Melissa George. Yeah.
Well, no, he sacrificed himself because he's real dumb.
No, he has a heart of gold.
Well, no, he's prettier than he is smart.
His heart of gold, his heart of gold overcomes his judgment sometimes.
Yeah, I think the word you're looking for is stupid. Yeah. Anyway, so him and Melissa George go to this lookout spot where the sun's coming up.
Place. Yeah.
And then he turns to ash in her arms.
And it is sad. So like, sad. Giving each other a last kiss. Now she doesn't have to file that divorce paperwork.
And now she gets all his money.
I know.
Oh, this whole thing was just her trying to get that inheritance money.
Oh, you know what? I never liked her.
Yeah. Now I know why.
Why?
I also hate that their last kiss had to be with those nasty vampire teeth.
I know. Oh, yeah. And like without having running water for like a month. But if you really love each other, you know.
Look past it.
Yeah. Plus, when you're that pretty, you don't have to brush your teeth. Yeah. Although, it helps.
Yeah, you do.
You start looking like Ben Foster.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the movie.
That is the whole movie. Yeah. So let's talk box office, right? That's what we do next.
Yep. That's what's on the outline.
Awesome. The production budget was $30 million in this movie.
$30 million of night dollars?
$30
million. Ooh. One for each of those nights?
Yes.
And I want to make an M. Night joke.
That's how they broke it down. Absolutely. And it made $39 million domestically.
Well, that's $9 million more.
Well, and then $40 million internationally. So it made money. It made $80 million roughly.
Yeah.
And then it did pretty good in DVD sales and video sales. It made about $28 million on that. So it made a little over $100 million. So, I mean, it made money. It's not like a runaway hit, but it did well.
Yeah, I remember when this came out. I think I watched it on DVD, but I remember it getting some bad reviews. But I liked it because I remember I kind of got sucked into the haters of it. But I really liked it a lot this time. You know, I thought it was interesting and entertaining, and Josh Hartnett's dreamy.
I think you were slightly focused on one thing specifically.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The D that survived out of the double D.
I do like Bobby too, though. I like that B. all right, so is that box office?
That's the box office.
Box office.
It's really easy. Do we got some fun facts, Jen?
We got a couple of fun facts.
Hit us with the fun facts.
There is a sequel that went straight to VOD, and there's a prequel miniseries on Fear.net. Most people know
it's based on a graphic novel,
It is based on a graphic novel. The
I did not know that going in. I saw that in the end credits.
It was actually pitched as a story, as a movie first, and then he pitched it as a comic, and it finally got bought as a comic. And then Sam Raimi bought the rights to it and ended up producing it. Josh Hartnett's character is not Evan. It's Eben,
which is such a bad name.
Well, because he was originally supposed to be an Inuit character, and in the graphic novel, he is an Inuit character.
Oh, so they whitewashed this movie, is what you're saying?
They did. Yeah.
Hashtag white privilege.
Yeah. There, I've got a couple more fun facts, but I did some fact checking on 30 Days of Night about whether a lot of the shit is real. Barrow, Alaska, is real. It is the northernmost point in the U.S. It's the northernmost U.S. settlement. The 30 Days of Night thing is technically real, although the night is like gray. There are grades of what a polar night is.
Right.
Because I went to Alaska when I was in college, and I went in July, so that was the opposite of a polar night is a polar day. And so I was there around the middle of it, so there was like 4 hours of night.
Yeah.
So like it was like 1 o'clock, and we were just fishing because it was still
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, 1 o'clock. What did I say?
In the morning.
Oh, yeah, 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was still bright. And so we would go to bars, and, like, all of the bars have, like, the windows are all blacked out, you know, because they, because, you know, it'll be either the days are all whacked. Yeah. So if you guys noticed, the lots of the houses are built on stilts. Did you notice how they kept crawling under the house? It's because they're not actually built on the ground. They're built on the permafrost, which is, like, just ice that's always there.
So that was real.
It is real. Yeah, yeah. So if you build the houses on the ground, the heat from the house will melt that permafrost and the house will just sink into the ice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes
sense. So that's why they're always under houses in this thing. The language is a language they made up. I think we said that.
The vampires are speaking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This was filmed in... You want to guess where this was filmed in?
Barrow, Alaska.
No. It was filmed in New Zealand.
Really?
It was, yeah. Half the cast is Kiwi or Australian. I don't know what Melissa George is, so I probably shouldn't say, but I don't think she's American.
Not that it matters.
Not that it matters, no.
Right.
But it matters because I think a couple of times I may have heard a little bit of an accent.
Pretty sure Jen wants to build a wall around New Zealand.
I love New Zealand.
I've never been there, but I would love to go.
I'd love to track the original course to Mordor, you know?
Yeah, that's the reason I want to go.
That would be fun.
Seriously.
Throw some shit in a volcano.
That Fellowship,
wasn't
Lost, though.
Film there, too, I think.
Lost was, Yeah, I think some in Hawaii, too. Yeah.
Yes.
I love Lost. One thing I do want to say is there are a lot of similarities to this and Salem's Lot, which is a really good book by Stephen King. And I don't want to spoil a bunch of it.
I'm only laughing because you find a way to work in Stephen King into every
I do.
Episode.
Everybody drink, yeah. So there, the ending of this movie is very similar to something that happens in the end of Salem's Lot. Have you read Salem's Lot?
I haven't, but I want to.
Oh, it's so good. It's pretty short, too. The plot, there are a lot of similarities. The head vampire in 30 Days of Night is named Marlowe, and in Salem's Lot, his name is Barlow. There's a stranger in this one that's like the familiar, and there is one in Salem's Lot named Straker. But yeah, there are a lot of similarities to this in Salem's Lot.
Did Stephen King sue them?
No, because there are similarities, but they're still separate stories. They're just plot beats because Salem's Lot was inspired by Dracula. And so this was
fair enough.
Of inspired by Dracula, too. So, I mean, the vampire story has a lot, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he didn't sue him. Anyway, yeah, that's my fun facts.
Should we scary scale it then?
Scary scale.
So, Jen, what is the scary scale?
Our scary scale is how we rank how scary we thought the movie was. It is not the quality of the movie. It is how scared we were when we watched it today. And our one example is Ghostbusters, and our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm getting so good at explaining the scary scale.
You are. You don't have to have a man do it for you.
I know. I don't. I don't even need a man for anything except John.
I was about to say. I can think of one you'd want for
also,
something.
I do love my husband very much, and he is super dreamy too. Okay,
the pod father.
The pod father.
Yeah,
yeah.
Should I start?
Yeah, go for it.
I'll give it a 5.
A 5? Okay.
Yeah, because there were a few jump scares that really got me. Mm-hmm. The kitchen jump scare with Bubble Courtney Cox and the girl, the little vampire girl, scared the fuck out of me. But it was also pretty gross at some points. Like the axe at the very end on Billy was really grotesque and it was rough. I've seen movies that are much, much worse than this.
Mm-hmm.
This one wasn't bad, but it was the jump scares really get me. I fucking hate jump scares so much.
Yeah, that is your kryptonite.
It is.
Yeah. Lena, what you think?
So I'm going to go with, so today I'm going to say a 2.
Okay.
Because I thought the movie was
Ballers.
It's more cool, like seeing the axe and the vampire through the window.
And you sort of know what's coming. And, yeah.
And like, you know, way back in the day, because I think I saw this in theaters. It did scare me back then because those vampires are freaky.
They are, yeah.
And I may wake up in the middle of the night tonight and think I see Bloodbeard.
Yeah.
Because I do that from time to time. Not
do you really?
But I wake up thinking.
I'm pretty sure Jen's going to be seeing Josh Hartnett in the middle of the night tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What do you give it, Jen?
I think I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's effectively scary. I hadn't seen it in a while, so I didn't remember a lot of what was going to happen, and I was scared. I did remember how it ended, and I don't really like how it ends.
No, I thought the ending was pretty dumb. But yeah. I'll say this, like, the movie's sort of fun. Like, I didn't
hate
the movie. I think it pulls it off. The end is where it sort of loses its luster for me. And honestly, I would never watch this movie again, but...
Yeah.
I can understand if someone was like, oh, yeah, it's a pretty good movie. I'd be like, I get why you like it.
I like it. And I don't know how they could have ended it that I would have liked it.
Yeah.
Josh Hartnett not dying?
Yes, that would have, yeah.
Because he dies for literally no reason.
Right. Well, and if you're familiar with the end of Salem's Lot, I do like the way they ended that one better. So maybe if they'd done a little bit more of this. But I do really like this movie. I love vampire movies, and I feel like there aren't a lot of really good ones.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
I think they just really...
I don't know. Like, I have no idea. Sorry. Yeah. I'm just over here like, oh.
It's rare that you get a good vampire movie, and I do really like this one. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. I thought it was scary.
Sure.
Josh Hartnett.
And I think, you know, when it came out, I was in my early 20s, and I don't know if I was the target audience for that movie or not, but I did cry at the end.
Yeah, I think I did too. And I like it because this is about the level of blood and gore that I like.
Yeah, you know? There wasn't much of it, really. Just that one axe scene at the very end with Billy, and the rest was pretty manageable gore.
And there's a lot of blood in it, but not a lot of like really gory, visceral blood coming out of bodies, except for like the chop scene. But you don't see a ton of it. So yeah, this is about the level of gore that I like. Yeah. So yeah.
If we had a gore scale 1 through 10, I'd give it this. I would have given this like
maybe a 7. I'd say.
I would say like a 5 because I've seen much, much more gory shit.
This is more comic booky because it was inspired by the graphic novel, and it's like a more visual kind of splattery gore.
Right.
Yeah, I like it more like Gore Vidal and less Al Gore. So Jen, we just watched 30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
What are we watching as the first movie in the new year?
The first movie of the new year. Oh, and I'm so excited because we've just had our first Patreon listener request episode. So what we did is we had our $25 level and above Patreon level members.
They suggested movies.
They did. We asked for some winter theme movies. They suggested them. We narrowed them down to 4. And then we let all of our Patreon people vote. And what did we land on? We landed on...
The Thing.
The Thing. The original The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Which, in truth, we've gotten a lot of requests on socials and stuff
like
that.
I was not surprised
Before we even had a Patreon, that was a very common request.
Yes, yes. And some of us are very excited, and some of us are less excited about it.
I don't know anything about it, to be honest with you. And I hate all the movies, so I'm never excited about
I've seen it. I can appreciate it. It's not one of my favorites. But I'm looking forward to revisiting it and seeing, you know, why everybody loves it so much. So The Thing is going to be our first 2019 episode, and I'm really excited. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, Patreon, for participating. And setting that up for us and making it a success. It was awesome. We're going to do that more, and you know, we'll do more listener requests. And guys, if you want to be a part of that, join the Patreon. There's a bunch of great content on there. I'll let you guys just discover that at patreon.com/horrorvirgin, which is all of our socials are whatever it is /horrorvirgin. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. That's Jen Ferratu. I'm Todd J. Awesome. And our guest, we should plug your podcast and stuff too. It's amazing. And I know you're pretty active on Instagram. I don't know if you're active on anything else, but I see your stories and stuff all the time on Instagram. So let's plug all that for you.
Yes, Music City Horror.
Woo!
On the Instagram. And if you want to follow me, I'm Lena Del Beer on Instagram.
Nice.
If you like beer and food.
Yes.
Music City Horror on Instagram, Twitter. We're on Facebook. You can visit our website, and you can sign up to be on our email list.
Oh, cool.
That.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of great reviews.
Thank you. Yeah, we do a lot
of interviews with, like, horror, like, community celebs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like Joe Bob Briggs.
That was awesome.
Is he the guy who, like, is, like, the Shudder?
Yes.
He's on Shudder right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the Elvira of Shudder, but if Elvira was a man and not attractive.
Well, he was originally... He was originally in Elvira too. They're kind of the same type characters.
Like in the 90s,
yeah, guiding you through your horror night.
I mean, I trust you. I don't know, so.
Yeah. If you go to our website, you can find a code for 30 days free on Shudder.
Nice. 30 days of night free on Shudder?
Yes.
Nice.
And Joe Bob does have some stuff on there right now. And he's cool. So nice. He's a very nice dude.
There's
so.
A bunch of Stephen King stuff streaming on Shudder right now, too. Yes, you should watch all of it.
A lot of Stephen King
books.
Video content, whether it be movies or TV shows, are not good.
True. I've got a lot of theories about that, which I can delve into if we've got another hour or
two. No, we don't. And I don't ever want to have that conversation with you.
Oh, but it's so insightful. Did we plug our site?
Yeah, guys. So go to check out our site. It's got links to the blog is on there.
It's got
links to our merch store. We got some great merch.
Bloggity blog.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we already talked about Patreon. Hey, and that's going to be it for us. Thanks for joining us, guys. Thank you so much for joining us in 2018. It's really been an amazing year for us.
It has. I mean, we
can't believe that this still exists as a thing.
I can't believe it's grown as much as it has in the 6 months we've been doing it. That's
I know.
Insane.
It's been really awesome. And we're really looking forward to some really fun, exciting things in 2019.
Yeah.
So stick with us. Tell your friends.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah, sorry, my brain
I love
powers.
Being here.
One so of these days, fun. I'm going to figure out how to end this podcast.
You do struggle towards the end.
I do.
Lena, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
You.
We love having you.
Thank
you were great
you
on both
awesome.
This and our Your Next episode.
Yep.
And which is not
Stop
a surprise. You have
anytime.
Your own great podcast, too. So we like to steal talent from other great podcasts.
We do, yeah. Oh, that's going to be it from us. Yeah, thank you. I'm Jen.
I am your virgin, Todd. And
we'll
guys,
see you
have
next
a great
time.
New Year's Eve.
Yes, happy New Year's Eve. We hope you all make it through to 2019.
Bye. Nerds. All right, guys. It is time for our monthly Patreon shout outs. So anyone that subscribes at the $25 level or above, a big shout out to you guys. So a big thanks to
Daniel Young, Eddie Schumann, Melissa Craig.
Thank you guys so much for subscribing at
Thank
the
so
$25
much.
Level. And of course, Nick B at
Nick
that
B.
big burn it down level at $50.
Yeah,
Thank
Nick
you so
B's
much. You guys are amazing. And
stuff.
Honestly, everyone that subscribes on the Patreon really is doing extra. And we
I
appreciate
know.
That so
we
much.
We love it. And you know what? If that's not something that you are able to do right now, we appreciate all of the reviews. And
yes.
just listening is really supportive.
And,
makes
and telling your
really
friends
good.
And family. I can't tell you how many times people reach out to me and say, hey, I've been telling all my friends or all my family about
I
this
know.
Podcast. I love it. You guys are great. Like that.
That
Honestly,
means a lot to us, too.
It makes all the work we put into it worth it, and we appreciate that
it
so
does.
Much.
Yeah, you like us. And that's really important to me for reasons I'm working on in therapy.
So, Shape of Revenge, this is for you. Nailed it!
Harmonize.
Nailed it!
Awesome.
That actually might be very cool.